Gentis presents The Newcomers by Vivian Stewart, performed by Simon Slater.
Chapter 1. Timothy Dawson was in an unwontedly angry mood when he drew rein outside the Taggart cabin. It was the end of June, the weather pleasantly cool, but his rage had simmered to white heat during the 16-mile ride from Sydney. And when small Justin ran out eagerly to meet him, he received a cuff for his pains. Inside the cabin, where they had been eating their noonday meal, Wat Sparrow studied the new arrival's glaring face with mingled apprehension and surprise. Before going out to relieve him of his horse, the little man offered a low-voiced warning to Jenny.
"Tim Dawson looked in the right taking, lass, and he just sent poor Justin packing with a flea in his ear, which ain't like him, is it? Best pour him a glass of spirit and bide quiet till he can find out what's upset him."
Jenny took this sage advice. Wat, as she was well aware, liked Timothy Dawson and seldom, if ever, criticised him. Indeed, she herself came in for caustic comment from Justin's adopted grandfather because of her refusal to play her cards right, as he put it. The blame for her unwed state lay at her door, according to Wat, not at Timothy's. She sighed and rose from the table, setting a clay beaker beside a small keg of Jamaica rum as Timothy stumped into the cabin. "Please help yourself," she invited, when he offered only a curt greeting. "It would seem you need it."
"By God, I do."
He splashed rum into the beaker and gulped it down as if it had been water. "Yes, by God, I do, Jenny. And if I could leave this infernal colony by the next ship to depart these shores, I would. Unhappily, I can't afford to." He sounded as angry and resentful as he looked, and Jenny, heedful of Watt's admonition, returned to her seat and waited in silence for him to unburden himself. The rum keg had been three-quarters full, but he had almost exhausted it before he spoke again. Then, in a choked voice, he burst out.
"The new governor's been here since last September, over 9 months. He promised to restore the civil administration, to curb the trading activities of those confounded rogues of corps officers, and to see that justice was done to the settlers, did he not? And what, pray, has he done? Tell me that."
Unwisely, Jenny attempted to come to the governor's defence by reminding him that civilian justices of the peace now administered the law in conjunction with the military. "And," she added, "the governor has visited all the settlements in person. When he's not chasing after wild cattle and absenting himself for weeks on his voyages of discovery," Timothy retorted, unimpressed. He stared moodily into the rum in his beaker. "Very well. I grant you he's a sea officer and maybe the sea is in his blood. Perhaps some of his discoveries may prove of value. The wild cattle probably will. There may be coal in that river the shipwrecked people from the Sydney Cove claim to have found, and that young surgeon Bass from the Reliance may well find a way to cross the Blue Mountains. Plague take it, the governor himself may cross them. But of what use will any of these discoveries be so long as all profit sticks to the fingers of the corps officers? And when the governor, despite all his promises, actively aids men like MacArthur?" "I don't know," Jenny confessed. Sensing that he had not yet revealed the true cause of his rage, she crossed to the fireplace, and taking down the jar of home-grown tobacco, she set it with his pipe beside the rum. "Are you hoping to soothe me, Jenny?" he demanded unsmilingly. "Well, you will not succeed. I have good reason for my indignation, and by heaven, so have the other settlers who have sweated their guts out here for scant reward." Was he, Jenny wondered as, in spite of his protest, he started from force of habit to fill his pipe? Was he still indignant because the governor had ordered the settlers to release some of their convict labourers for the performance of urgent public work? The unloading of ships was a matter of urgency. No one could deny that, and so also, in the governor's view, was the building of a courthouse and the completion of an enlarged jail in Sydney town. The corps officers, as well as the settlers, had obeyed the governor's decree. True, those who held land had contrived to get round the resulting shortage of labour, as she knew.